Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Danny McDuke. As always, I'm joined by Dr. Roger, the Electric Esmoji, and John Sheeran. And we have so much to talk about today. And by so much, I mean two things. Number one, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, okay. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Unbreakable, John, but this would be the equivalent of Bruce Willis learning how to swim. Because Joe Burrow, the one thing was, his arm strength, his velocity.
So hold on.
Yeah.
John, in case you haven't seen Unbreakable. I mean, aren't we giving away? Isn't this a spoiler for Unbreakable?
Wait, Bruce Willis is in that movie? I thought that was like the one directed by Angelina Jolie. Had like the skinny dude.
This is M. Night Shyamalan's superhero movie.
Yeah. Basically, what I'm saying is Joe Burrow is a complete quarterback. He was launching footballs into water coolers, right, into the Ohio River.
At least.
Yeah. He was throwing them so hard that they all are saying, my hands are stinging. He might have some lawsuits on his hand from his receivers.
One can only hope.
I mean, it is crazy, John. He tore so many ligaments in his knee that I am now like an expert in, you know, anatomy. I have a degree in biology just from trying to find out what his injuries are. And he comes back.
Yeah.
And his arm is stronger.
Well, he's got the best doctors in the field.
He's got the best doctors. But John, also, there was a discussion on Twitter with Joe Goodberry and others about how he learned to not just rely on his knee when he's in his throwing motion. He's using other parts of his body to compensate.
Yeah, so I don't know if his arm has necessarily gotten stronger. And I don't know if he's broken too many if he broke too many ligaments in his knee. I think the most it was probably three, but of course one of them is the ACL, and that's why it took so long to get to this point. But in recovering from that injury, it used to take a year, right? And Carson Palmer, 15 years ago, that was the exception, right? He came back with like 8 months, still didn't really look the same. We're now seeing that Joe Burrow, in all likelihood, by the time he hits his nine-month mark, he'll look more the same that he did, but only improved, because this is sometimes what we see from guys coming back from injury. In the process of the rehab and recovery, they end up coming back even stronger. But with Burrow's case, I don't know if he's necessarily gotten stronger, but he's had to do some type of recovery rehab workouts that he would have done even if he didn't get injured. And it has to do a lot with just rotating your hips and getting more balance with your legs. And those two things, mixed with his previously pretty good mechanics, delivers actually more velocity in his throws now. So I don't know if his arm has necessarily gotten bigger. I know his teeth have apparently gotten wider and a little bit more straight, or a little more straight. But I do believe that he's now rotating his body with a little bit more ferocity. He's got more balance in his legwork to actually get the ball out quicker and harder. And we've actually heard from Thaddeus Moss, who was his teammate at LSU, saying, yeah, this ball has a little bit more pop in it than used to 2 years ago.
Well, and you mentioned the teeth, John, and I think the teeth here might be important because of what we in the biz know as the tooth-arm connection. When a quarterback has a good smile, they tend to have a good arm. And this is something people don't know. But he fixed his teeth, he fixed his throw. Let me ask you, John, you said pretty good mechanics. Tell me more about pretty good. Why not pretty great?
Pretty good because, like, at LSU, he was accurate as hell, right? He had such great touch. He had such great
timing.
I'd say great.
I would say great. But you said pretty good.
I would say pretty good because even though that Burrow could make these great throws on the run and a little bit off platform, like great, it almost has to be like reserved for like the Mannings of the world, the Drew Breeses of the world. And it's really hard to be at that level when you're 23 years old. And there's always the argument of how much can you actually improve on that stuff when you're 23, you've been playing quarterback all your life. And we saw last year that some things just weren't right, right? We saw a lot of deep balls that were missed, that were off target. Yes. Some of the issues were timing. And it had a lot to do with just balance and overall general rotation. I think, again, both of those things were things that Burrow wanted to improve upon regardless of coming back from the injury. But I think the injury gave him a reason to accelerate that process and really hammer it home because he did have to build back that strength of from recovering from that disastrous knee injury. So a 23-year-old quarterback's mechanics, they were never going to be perfect or pristine or top of the class. But now I think they're at a point where he can compete with and he can make some of more throws that he wouldn't been able to make last year, and that's going to be really big for this year two jump.
Right. I mean, especially especially because he's got, it seems, I would say, and I'm embarrassed to say this because we've lost AJ Green, but he has a better receiving core. This year's receiving core is amazing.
I mean, I will say, I totally believe what John is saying. Not just because John is saying it, but also, I mean, the power of moving your hips more effectively. Right. Like, we were talking last show about my car. And honestly, before I learned a better technique for moving my hips, I couldn't even squeeze into my car.
Right.
Obviously, because the proportions are a little bit off.
Well, and the doors don't open, so you have to go through the window.
Yeah.
I mean, the viewer needs to know all the details.
Right. Yeah. So getting the right technique is useful everywhere, not just football. Yeah. So I'm glad. I mean, you look at John, you look at those guys like Dak Prescott else was it? Were they doing those pregame things with the hips? Mm-hmm. The hips are all the fad now. Everybody's doing the hips.
It's not just the salsa dance, man. It's very practical.
It's very practical, the hips.
So look. Joe Burrow.
Where would you put Aaron Rodgers, John, on that mechanic scale?
Oh man, he's like an exception, right? Because he doesn't, when he throws the ball, it's not like Philip Rivers type unique, but when he throws the ball, it doesn't look like it's very traditional, right? It's almost just like a flick. He doesn't move anything, right? It's just a slight rotation with the shoulder. He just has so much torque on his arm. And his arm compared to Burrow's, like, it's not even fair. Like it's like another stratosphere. It's like with the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allen's, and he can get away with some sloppy quote unquote mechanics, and they don't look traditional. They look like they were taught in like a traditional academy sense, but he just gets away with it because he just has so much natural torque. And that's not what Burrow has, right? Which is why Burrow has to master those mechanics. It's the same with any prospect that comes out of college and they don't have these incredibly gifted raw traits like a Patrick Mahomes did. So Burrow has to master and hammer down the things that he can control to maximize what he has.
Well, and Burrow's greatest strength is that brain, that quarterback mind of his, that in the moment improvisational skill that he has. It's amazing.
It is. So John, let us move on because we talked about Burrow's great receivers. And you talked about Thaddeus Moss, who might play some tight end. But look, let's be honest. The tight end we're counting on is CJ Uzomah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some good news coming out today that CJ Uzomah, he tore his Achilles, but it was about a little less than a year ago. And that is always a terrible injury. You never know how people are going to come back. No. Today, it's different. You know, back in the old days, John, it was Dominic Wilkins and everybody else. I don't know if you know.
Not even that long ago, Kevin Durant tore his Achilles in summer of 2019. It took him like well over a year to give him back to like somewhat strength. CJ Uzomah's happened 8.5 months ago.
It's crazy.
And apparently, according to him, he's 100%.
That is
insane. That's insane. And Uzomah, he's not maybe going to be a top receiving tight end, but he's a good one. I remember, I think he got Burrow's first touchdown pass. Is that right?
He did, yeah.
Yeah,
he was getting the job done.
He was.
He really was. I mean, let me put it like this. We didn't really feel the absence of Eifert when he was playing. And that's a big deal because Eifert was great. So the fact that he could come in and give us what Eifert was giving us, you know, and maybe even some ways more, I feel like he's more sturdy, you know, that's a great thing. And now the fact that he's back and the fact that you have all these other receivers back and Dare and Mew, and you got the arm strong. I think the offense question is answered. I think we're ready for that. I think the defense question remains. Offensive line question remains.
I mean, Uzomah's fine. Like, you're not going to complain about throwing the ball to Uzomah 60, 70 times a year, which I think what he was on pace for that. He had like 11 targets in just 7 quarters of play. And that was the first of many season-ending injuries that the Bengals had. And it really altered what they were going to do because he just had this connection and rapport with Burrow so early in his career. They tried to do the same thing with Drew Sample, and Drew Sample had some growth, but he's not the same type of dynamic athlete that Uzomah is. And I'm not saying that Uzomah is this Travis Kelce type of athlete at tight end, but he's 6'6", 250, and he can move pretty well. He's got a great catch radius, and it was really devastating to see him go down so early in the year and for him to be back And on the practice field now, catching these balls from Burrow, looking like 100%. Like, we're talking about Burrow. He's still like at 85%, right? He's just now starting to roll out and make some throws on the run. There's nothing that Uzomah can't do. And he's still 2 months away from putting pads on. So it goes to show again, like Bengals, they do suffer a lot of injuries. They do have a lot of these catastrophic injuries, but they do always seem to come back ahead of schedule, aside from a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It gives the Bengals fan a lot to hope for. You got the new uniforms. You've got the new good news in terms of injuries. It's a lot to be excited about this year.
I agree. Yeah. It is interesting, John. You know, you said they come back sooner than expected. And you think about the Bengals' diet. You know, I can't help but think about, you know, all the meats and all the protein and the animal products and all those kind of things.
Where are you going with this?
What I'm saying is when you absorb another creature's powers. When you take the ligaments of like a goat. Okay. We know this, Hoji. This is basic medicine in our
village.
Why
are you provoking me?
When you eat goat ligaments, your ligaments are going to get stronger.
No, it doesn't work like that. In fact, we have a program now. We're trying to train carnivorous animals to be vegetarians. It hasn't gone very well. Most have died.
It's not going to work. It's very, yeah.
But we have we're taking lions and we're saying, listen, maybe you could change your diet. Maybe you could try something new. And when you say stuff like that, you're discouraging them.
I don't think it has any effect, but you get the point. I think John's following the point. And so you look at football players. Do you remember, John, the Hard Knocks when they had Domato Pecco and he showed his breakfast?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. John, tell Hoji what his breakfast was.
Why?
It was like a mound of eggs. I think there was like some rice in there. Like, I mean, he's okay. Polynesian, right? You know, they eat everything.
There's a lot of meats. There's like four different animals. Yeah.
He's trying to provoke me, John, because
I want to address this because he mentioned the animal goat, like, and goat is obviously very pronounced in sports, you know, for rightful reasons. So. If say a goat was very ill, he was on his literal last leg, right? He was on his way out, if you will, and there were a couple of options of how to handle, you know, his body, his corpse, his remains, how to respectfully make use of them, right? Are you saying that if we replace Joe Burrow's left knee with a goat's knee, that he would become a sport theoretical goat? Is that how this works? Is that how this transition works?
Eat the ligaments. You eat the ligaments.
He eats it?
You eat ligaments. Yeah. And then
he becomes a goat.
No, you don't become a goat. John, you're going way off here. But look.
The most powerful animals on earth are vegetarian. You got your elephant. Boom. You got your blue whale. Not a vegetarian, but these very small little plankton type thing. Boom. Huge. Powerful animal. Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the thing is,
should know that
the tastiest animals also eat a lot of. They're fruitarians or
put a blue whale out in the land, see how it does. How about that,
guys? I'm sorry, but you're steering this conversation in a strange direction. So we have a question about Chris Evans, his progress, and I got to say, I like the idea of getting Chris Evans heavily involved. And I love Joe Mixon, obviously. But, you know, that kind of younger Giovanni. What do you think, John? Does he have a chance to, let's say, jump ahead of Trevion Williams, who was on our show? So, obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But, yeah.
Love Trevion Williams. I still do. It's weird because Trevion was drafted the same year that his former offensive line coach was hired. Now he's in an offense with a new offensive line coach who's also a new run game coordinator, who's also a new running backs coach. And they just drafted a running back who they really like. It's really hard to see Trevion being ahead of Chris Evans on the depth chart, let alone making the team at all. If they really want Joe Mixon to be on the field for 90% of the snaps, and they just re-signed Samaje Perine for 2 years, and they just drafted Chris Evans, you have to think that those three are locks to make the roster. And it's almost like, do they really need a fourth running back? And if there is a fourth running back, you'd have to think that Trevion has an inside track for that job. If not, I think he still would have practice squad eligibility, but he would definitely not be above Chris Evans, who, again, going to be like 24 this year, has great receiving ability, has great one-on-one ability as a receiver, either in the backfield or in the slot. So, yeah, I would say he's got the inside track to beat Trevion Williams in that battle.
Wow.
Here's the thing for me. I've always been a fan of Jim Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh's taste and what he sees in college players. And Jim Harbaugh was the one who wanted Evans and courted Evans, or I don't know what you do to get a high school player or whatever to come to your team. Whatever Jim Harbaugh saw in Chris Evans. I'm sure Zach Taylor saw in Chris Evans. So I think, you know, as a backup running back, why not give the guy a chance? Jim Harbaugh did. Why shouldn't we? That's how I see it.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Like we said, I mean, just such a great background. It was such, if you look at the story, the fighting the fascism and saving the open world and all that kind of stuff, and then finding the time to learn football, such an inspiration.
And there were the nudes, but that kind of thing is okay on the Bengals.
It is, because really it is a jungle. It is a jungle. There's a lot of meat. That is a lot of.
Oh no! Don't do this. Flesh. Don't.
Okay.
No, don't go there. No.
Doesn't hurt to have a human torch.
No, it does not.
No.
All right, guys. I think we have so much more to talk about, but
so,
we have
so much. This is really, you know, the bottom of the barrel of NFL season. I mean, don't blame us if our show drags on. This is really the low point of the NFL year. It's only going uphill from here.
Because we are getting further and further away from reality, and the views are going up. We have 16 viewers now. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, well, as soon as you mention meat being anything but something that sits and rots in your bowels.
No good for ratings, yeah. All right, that is all we have. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star review for John Sheeran and Dr. Roji, Dr. Gismoji. I'm Daniel McDuke. We'll see you next time. So long, sweetie. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.